Thank you. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew, the fifth chapter, and we'll begin in the sixth verse. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, I ask that you would help us to understand your word, that you would challenge our hearts, Father, that you would make us more like Jesus as a result of this hour. Bless now this time. Challenge us, change us, draw us closer to Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, if anybody should ask what we're doing at church, we're doing the greatest sermon that has ever been preached, and it was preached by Jesus himself. It is great to know God's word. It is great to learn from God's word. And you know, when I preach, I try to preach from God's word, but just think of being there when Jesus taught. Every word was God's word, for Jesus is no less than God himself. And so he came and he spoke. He preached more than just this one message, but this is the longest one that he preached, and by most considered the greatest sermon ever preached. Nine times in this message, he uses a designation of people that we need to have: blessed. I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. I want God to pour out his blessings upon me. I want to walk in his blessings. I want to live like I have been blessed. To be blessed means to be happy. It means to be joyful. It means to be at peace. All of those things are wrapped up in this one term. And when you walk in his way, when you come close to him and know him and follow him, he can allow you to have that blessing, that joy, that peace, and that happiness no matter what is going on in the world. Yeah, no matter what. No matter how bad it gets. No matter who's in the White House. No matter what teacher you draw. No matter who your boss is. God can control you and bless you in any situation and give you peace and joy and happiness in any circumstance. That's the God we need. That's the God we need to share with other people. In 1 Timothy 1:11, the scripture says, "The glorious gospel of the blessed God." This thing that we need comes from God himself. God is a blessed God. God is a happy God. God is a joyful God. People like to think of God as being an angry God, but you know, that's not the character God communicates in. God is at peace and wants to bring peace to your heart. If you know the Lord, Revelations 14:13 says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." That means that if you know Jesus, when you die, you will know his full happiness, joy, and peace forever, and nobody can take it away. Yesterday, I had the privilege to be at the funeral service of a great pastor. Brother Tommy Hinchel went home to be with the Lord last Wednesday, pastor of Cornerstone Baptist Church, pastor here for many years, I think 27, 28 years at Cornerstone, here before at Wesley Heights. What a great guy. What a great proclaimer of God's word. Great sense of humor, you know, and it was a great homegoing thing. But let me tell you, he's more blessed today than he's ever been on this planet. for he is with Jesus. There's a great hope in knowing there's peace ahead. There's a great hope in knowing there's happiness ahead. There's a great hope in knowing there's joy ahead. And all of that's there for those that know Jesus and are dead. But you know, while that's good and that's great and it's comforting, it's not a lot of help for now. And so you need to understand, when Jesus starts off this message and he talks about being blessed and blessed and blessed nine times, he's telling us not only about what's going to be for us then and there, he's telling us about a lifestyle we can enjoy in the here and now. You see, Christianity is not just pie in the sky by and by when you die. Christianity is about a real relationship with a real God who can work in and through your life and give you victory in all the circumstances you face in this world. While you're still upright, while you're still breathing, while you are still on this planet, God can equip you with a spirit of joy and peace and happiness. In verse 20, Jesus says, your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, or you cannot enter heaven. So Jesus begins telling us how we can get into the kingdom of God and how we can enter heaven in verse 3, 4, and 5. And we talked about these things last week. If you have entered the kingdom of heaven, you have repented, you have turned from your sin, and you've invited Jesus Christ to be your Savior and God. That's where it all starts. That's the door into heaven, and that is the door into a relationship with God, and that is the door into his kingdom. You've been born again, and the Bible says you are now God's child. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, even to those that believe in his name. And so if you've got Jesus, you're in the kingdom. If you've got Jesus, you are God's child. If you've got Jesus, you have within you all that you need to have a life here and now and in the future that is full of joy and peace and happiness. You've had a change of attitude about yourself. You've had a change of attitude about your sin, all sins against God. And you've had a change of attitude about the Savior, and you've invited him to be your personal Savior. And so you repent of your sin, you see yourself as a sinner, you surrender, you submit yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and you are now in the kingdom. Now, if you've not done those things, we want you to do those things. We want you to do them today. We want you to do them in this service. We want you to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But you know what? God just doesn't tell us how we can get to heaven. God just doesn't tell us how we can have joy and peace and happiness in our own lives. God tells us how we are to live in the here and now. See, there's a practical side to what God teaches. And so how do I cope with this old world? How do I live in the face of everything that's going on and in everything that goes wrong? What is the attitude of a believer? Well, I'm glad you asked, because Jesus tells us. In verses 6, 7, and 8, he tells us the attitude that needs to be in our heart if we're going to live like we are actually children of the kingdom. In verse 6, he tells us we need to have an upward attitude. That means we need to have a desire in our heart to be right with God all the time. We need to have a hunger and thirst. He talks about being hunger and thirsty, to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Have you ever been hungry? I mean, really hungry? I'm not talking about the preacher's going long and we need lunch hungry. I'm talking about really hungry. I'm talking about the hungry where, you know, you've gone days without eating, where you really are hungry. Some of our people have ended up in the hospital and they've been restricted in taking in intake, and they've gone days and days without eating. Let me tell you, there is a hunger beyond what most of us ever experience, and it is very real. Have you ever really been thirsty? I mean really, really thirsty, and please do not get up and go get water now. Really thirsty. Back in the dark ages, I played football in high school, and that was before they whipped out football. Now, what I mean by that is, you know, today if you go to a football practice, there's water here, there's water over there, there's hose pipes, there's all this kind of stuff, so you can hydrate all the time, and that sounds really healthy and it's good, and you want your children doing that. But when I played football, if you thought of water, the coach would make you run. You didn't get close to it. Some of you guys lived through that, and you understand what that was. There were days, really, there were days, I was a believer then, and there were days I prayed that I would get tackled in a mud puddle because I was so thirsty. Just the thought of water just touching my tongue was just a great, great thought. And I didn't need any fancy kind of beverage. I just needed water. To be really thirsty. Well, listen, we need to understand God has what we need, and we need to hunger and thirst for what He can give us alone. We need to have a desire to be right with Him, a desire to follow Him, a desire to have what He desires. One of the ways you know that you're a child of God and you're walking with God is you just want to know Him better. You want to learn about Him. You want to have more from Him. You want to know more about what He wants you to do right now. And so there's a hunger for you, and you thirst for it, and you can't wait to get to church because maybe I'll learn something more about Jesus. Maybe this will be the day God directs me in a new path. Maybe this is the day God will quench that thirst in my heart. A hunger to get closer to God by the day. That's why I don't understand people that just stay away from God's house altogether. You know, people that say they're Christians, but they never come to eat. That's not healthy. It's not spiritually healthy. And it shows that there's something wrong in that life. Listen, the best you can be, the very best you can be on your own, according to the Bible, is like filthy rags. Our righteousness, our very best, is just like dirty rags. Oh, but to have the righteousness of God, to walk like God, to have God do something in your life so that you develop a character and you begin to act like Jesus would have you act. You know, people used to wear these little bracelets that had, you know, what would Jesus do? They had that little, you know, initials out there for what would Jesus do? And it's good to think about what would Jesus do. But listen, it's better to do what Jesus would do. To walk like Jesus would walk, and to think like Jesus would think, and to act like Jesus would think. In 2 Corinthians 5, God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. At the cross, Jesus took your sins. He took my sins. He bore them in Himself. The worst thing you have ever done, Jesus took upon Himself. The worst thing you could ever imagine doing, Jesus took upon Himself. He had never sinned, never knew sin, but he was willing to take all of that garbage from us. And He put on our cloak of sin and darkness, and He took it all, and He bore the penalty of it all. And then what does He do for us? He takes His perfect righteousness, and He wraps us in it. He takes our filth, He gives us His purity. He takes our vileness, and He gives us His righteousness. What an exchange. And And we go, we know we're going to heaven, not because we deserve it, because we know in ourselves we're just sinners. We don't deserve anything but death and hell. He wraps us up in his righteousness. God the Father lets us in, dressed in the righteousness of Jesus himself. We're not saved because we earn it. We're not saved because we deserve it. We can only be saved because Jesus paid it all. And it's all to him we owe. Eternally, I'm right with God. Personally, I am a poor lost sinner. But because of Jesus, I am lifted from lostness and I'm right with God. Why am I right with God? Because Jesus is in me and Jesus is right with God. I go to heaven in his righteousness, right with God. I spend eternity with him, right with God. Eternally, the Christian has the same standing with God the Father as Jesus does. Now, in time, in the day-to-day life, we should have a desire to get better. We should have a desire to walk better, to talk better, to live better, to be more like Jesus every day. That should be our heart's desire. Do you want to be right with God? Do you want to be more like Jesus? Has that ever crossed your heart and mind? Is that a desire of your heart? I know I'm saved because I want to be right with God. I want to be more like Jesus. I have a thirst in my heart for Jesus. I have a hunger for his word. God creates that in us. The psalmist said, as the deer pants after the water, so pants my soul after you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? That's a Christian that has a heart for God, a hunger for God, a thirst for God. God has given us a great promise. And in Psalms 107:9, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. You know what that means? That means you can be as close to God as you want to be. Why aren't people closer to God? They don't want to be. You can be close to God as you want to be. You can have a relationship close with Jesus as you want to have it. James says, draw near to God, he will draw near to you. So you know you have a relationship with God. You know that you're walking with him because you have an upward attitude. And not only do we need a new upward attitude, we need a new outward attitude. In verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This means we need to develop a great attitude toward other people. This is about how we conduct ourselves toward others, especially others who wrong us. If you live on planet Earth, somebody's going to do you wrong. You know how you know that? Country music is a thing. Somebody's going to do you wrong, and then somebody's going to write a wailing song, you know, and that's where country music comes from. It doesn't mean that we're going to discount their sin. You never discount sin. Sin is always wrong. We should stand against it. But it does mean that we're going to have within us a desire to redeem the sinner. We're going to want to pull other people to Jesus. We're going to want other people to have the same forgiveness that we have found. You have heard it said many times, God hates the sin, God loves the sinner. That is absolutely true, and that's what God expects of you. That we will love the individual, we will hate sometimes the lifestyle, sometimes the sin, we will hate those things, but we will still understand that person is precious to God. The Bible is a consistent force in challenging us. If you want to know God, you need to forgive others. Forgive. Let go. Some of you are holding on to stuff that people did to you 20 years ago, and you just are holding it like it is a prize pig, I'm going to tell you, it will destroy you spiritually. You need to let it go. And if you're holding a prize pig, please let it go. In this world, we must forgive if we want to be forgiven. This is talking about people that wrong us. Yeah, there are people that do us wrong. There are people you think that do you wrong. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. What's your attitude toward them? Should be forgiveness. It doesn't mean you have to be walked on, but it means you're going to forgive. Listen, when you will not forgive, you are tying yourself to that other person and you are in bondage to them as their slave. Because they have your thoughts, they have your desires, they have your happiness, they took your blessed away. Why in the world would you give that away? Why would you give that to him or them or her, whoever? The Lord explains, he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors in the model prayer. You forgive others if you want me to forgive you. That's pretty much what he is saying. And he explains, for if you will not forgive others, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. If you want mercy, you need to show mercy. What is mercy? Well, grace is when God does for you what you can't do for yourself. Praise God for grace. That's the only way we get saved. That's God's grace. Mercy's different. Mercy's when we don't do what you deserve. When we don't get what we deserve. Listen, I have told you I am a sinner. I know that I'm a sinner. I am thankful for God's forgiveness. I am thankful for his mercy. I deserve death, hell, and eternal punishment. But God's going to treat me in mercy and give me his heaven and glory. I want mercy. I don't want what I deserve. I want mercy. And what does God say? If you're merciful, you will get mercy. If you forgive, you can get forgiven. If you're merciful, you can get mercy. I don't want to be treated like I deserve. I want to be treated in God's love and care and happiness and power. And so I am going to seek to be merciful to others around me. And I will treat people, you know, people say, well, that's just what they deserve. You know, we're big on that when it's other people, aren't we? You hear about somebody that gets a bad thing comes into their life and they've done something to you and say, yeah, get them. But you know, you deserve something bad and it starts coming to you and you say, no, 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 not me. You be merciful to others. You seek to treat them not like they deserve to be treated, but like God would have you treat them. With the attitude in which God would have you work toward them. In Matthew 18:23, Jesus tells a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a king that would take an account against his servant. One was brought to him owing 10,000 talents. So that's more than anybody could ever pay. Huge amount in that day. His Lord commanded him to be sold, his family and all that he had, to pay what he owed. That was how things were done in that day. He would have been an indentured slave and sold away. The servant said, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Isn't that great? That's what happens to every one of us that receives Jesus as our Savior. It is a picture of the sin debt that we owe to God being taken away, God forgiving it, God showing us mercy, not giving us what we deserve. That's what I want. That's what you get when you get Jesus. Now, he goes on in the story. The same servant went out and found one who owed him 100 pence, paltry amount. He laid hands on him and said, pay what you owe. The fellow servant fell at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's what he had said. And he would not, but cast him into prison until he should pay his debt. When his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that had been done. His Lord said unto him, you wicked servant, I forgave you your debt because you asked. Should not you have had compassion on your servant even as I had on you? His Lord delivered him unto his tormentors until he paid what he owed. So likewise, get that? So likewise shall my heavenly Father do to you if you from your heart do not forgive everyone their trespasses. Well, now that's where the rubber hits the road. I don't know about you. I want to be forgiven. I want to have mercy. And so, yeah, you're going to find in me someone who wants to forgive and who wants to be merciful. And that's the attitude we should have toward others. When should you have it? Before they ever harm you. Just know in your heart that's how you're going to treat other people. Now, when you know it in your heart, I got news for you. God will test you, and you'll get to use that test. Be merciful. Treat them not like they deserve. Treat them like you would want to be treated. Be forgiving. Let it go. Let it go. You're going to be amazed. Letting what they did to you go will free you. And God will bless you. Have a new outward attitude and have a new inward attitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart, the washed heart, one who's been washed from the inside. You know what? We can look pretty good on the outside, and we can be filthy on the inside. You know, you don't know what goes on in here and in here. Praise God for that. I heard a great preacher say, if you knew what went on in here and in here, you would never listen to anything I say. You know what? I think that's true of all of us who preach. That inner you needs to be surrendered to God. You need to be, God's not really that concerned with your outward appearance. He is concerned on your inward appearance, and he wants to clean you from the inside out. Allow God to cleanse your heart. And by the way, it needs a continual cleansing. You know what we do? Every time we get clean, we go out and we get dirty again. Some of you have children, and it's amazing how quickly you clean children up, you get them dressed, they're ready to go. 3 seconds later, they look like they've been in the pig pen. How do they do it? The dirt just kind of runs to them and clings to them. Well, listen, you walk in this world, we sin more than we want to, even as Christians, we sin more than we ought, more than we want to. We need a constant cleansing. We need a cleansing from the inside out continually. We need to confess our sins, allow him to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We need to seek to walk toward his will on a day-by-day basis. 1 John 3:2 says, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. Everybody that comes to Jesus for salvation will ultimately be cleansed of heart, cleansed and pure, and walking in the glory, the sin will be gone. And we will see him as he is. That's a guarantee given to us by God. When you begin to put all these beatitudes in your life, when you have the right kind of attitude shaping up, when you're confessing your sin and walking with God, you're going to want to make peace with others. And so he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Some people exist to cause problems. Some people aren't happy unless they're in the midst of a mess. Listen, if you know Jesus, he makes peace with you and God. He wants you to make peace with others. That means as much as possible, we need to be at peace with others. Let me be quick to say, this is not peace at any cost. I am not giving up my Christian world. I am not giving up the Bible. I'm not giving up worship. I'm not giving up what God has commanded. I'm not giving up those things that God has commanded me to do and to live and work toward. But as much as in me is, I will seek to be at peace with others. If I have to give of myself in order to be at peace with somebody else, even though they should be given to me instead, listen, it's my call to be at peace with them. And you know what? If I can, I'm going to make peace with other people. You got this friend that's at the throat of this friend, and you can solve it. If you can calm it, be a peacemaker. Be someone that calms the water, not someone that stirs it up. When you come to Jesus, you have peace with God, and as a child of God, seek to make peace between God and others. That means you try to get others to know God. You draw others to Jesus. So God lays all these attitudes out, and they're all there, and he lays them out, and they go plop, 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 plop. There's seven of them all laid in a row, and they're all good, and you're thinking, I do all these things. I get these attitudes right. I know God. I'm walking with God. I'm right with God. I'm hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I'm confessing my sins. All these things are going great. Everybody's going to love me. No. No. He has an eighth. And then he gives more instruction to the eighth. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Wait a minute, I'm doing right and I'm going to be persecuted. Could be. You know, people sell whatever they want to sell, telling you what good it's going to do for you and how great it's going to be and all those things. God tells us, you walk with me, and it's likely people are not going to like you. There are going to be some who are going to stand against you. Listen, we are blessed in the United States of America. We have very little of this going on, although the waters are roaring against us. There are actions being taken on a daily basis against those who stand for Jesus. You need to stand for Jesus anyway. You will be blessed as you stand for Jesus. But persecution may come. Verse 11 says, when they shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Let me hasten to say, it's not when they say all manner of evil against you, it's when they say all manner of evil against you falsely. If you're the reason the problem is there because you are messing up, listen, confess it, get it right with others, confess it to them, confess it to God, be a peacemaker, get it all right, sew it up. You messed it up, you got to clean it up. But if they come at you falsely and you're trying to walk with God and trying to live for the Lord and trying to do that and they're coming against you falsely, God will take care of blessing you. And God will take care of the false accusations. I want you to know while we live at mostly peace, even in this day when people are taking stands against Christianity, it's not this way everywhere. There are 150 countries where Christians are being persecuted actively for their faith. There are countries where believers are being put to death because they hold the name of Jesus. In 2022, 6,000 Christians are known to have been put to death because they stood for Jesus. It's a reality in the world. Those who are trying to live for Jesus, those who are trying to walk for Jesus, actually seeing their lives taken, and they go to be with Jesus. Verse 12 says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, so persecuted they the prophets before you. What did they do to the prophets? Killed them. Well, there may be a day, in this land where it's not safe to name the name of Jesus. I pray that it would never be so. But you know how we make it to where it'll never be so? We got to get people to Jesus. We got to get people to cross over the line. We got to get people to make that decision in their own life and know who Jesus is and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. When you are persecuted because you stand with Jesus, it just means that God is using you. And what is the result of that persecution? Heaven. Heaven. That's the same promise that he gives on the first beatitude, heaven. See, when you give your heart to Jesus, when you give yourself to him, heaven. And when people come against you falsely, heaven. At the end of the day, no matter what happens in this world, we're not home yet. Heaven is there. It's a place of peace. It's a place of comfort. When you put, as Billy Graham said, when you hear that I have died, don't believe it, because I will be more alive that day than I have ever been. Heaven. The comfort that gets us through the lowest moment, the darkest hour, the most difficult situation, heaven's home is calling. And there will be a day where we will cross over and we will be there. We'll be there with loved ones that have gone before us, with those that know Jesus and have gone home with Jesus. And we will be there with Jesus. Oh, what a day, glorious day it's going to be. But until then, my friend, we've got a life to live that makes a difference. Having the attitudes that make a difference. Oh, surrendering to him, allowing him a victory day by day, forgiving others, being merciful to others, allowing him to work in our lives so that we act as a peacemaker among others. Things in this world become better because you are living for Jesus in this world. Your home becomes better because you are living for Jesus in your home. Your school becomes better because you're living for Jesus in your school. Your place of business becomes better because you're living for Jesus in that place of business. And if you're on the ball field, you live for Jesus. And if you're in the hospital, you live for Jesus. Wherever you are, till you breathe your last, you live for Jesus and you have an attitude of surrendering to him, and my friend, you will be blessed by the word of God. If you've never met Jesus, you can't know Jesus. You can't know the joys of Jesus. You can't know the peace, and you can't know the comfort of heaven. You need to come to know Jesus. Just walk down an aisle, say, I want Jesus. All you have to say, we know what that means. Believe in your heart that Jesus is God, that he died for you, that he was buried for you, that he rose again for you. Accept him as your Savior and Lord. Turn from your sin, turn to Jesus, and heaven will be your future. And until then, he gives you the attitudes of one of victory. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I ask now that you would move in our hearts, draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, in this room and listening online, Father, there are those that have never invited Jesus to be their Savior. Let this be the day that they ask Jesus to save their soul. Father, for those that are here, that they would come forward and say, I want Jesus. For Christians, those that know you, God, that this will be a line in the sand day when we're going to determine that we're going to have the right attitudes, the attitudes that you want us to have. Father, an upward attitude, the right outward attitude, the right inward attitude, all of them, Father, that lift up Jesus. And Father, I know that you will show us your mercy and grace. And Father, you will give us your victory, all as we follow Jesus. Call us, Father, to complete surrender in this moment. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you come now as we sing?